Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Is everybody blessed and highly flavored? You dead yet? Don't lie. Dead to yourself, right? The ultimate goal. The Lord says he delights the death of his children. To deny yourself. Deny. Man, that's a tough thing, isn't it? No, it isn't. Don't agree with that. To deny yourself is a choice. It's not a feeling. See, when you look at denying yourself by a feeling, you never will. It's just like love. People love not by a feeling, by a choice. Love is a choice. It says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It says that he chose us because his love is unconditional. In all of these arenas where people constantly live out of emotion, making their decisions, and how they feel always bring trouble. Always brings trouble. Because feelings lie. Amen? Feelings lie. Now, we were talking about the spiritual house, and, you know, we stopped in basically about halfway with this. And one of the things about a spiritual house is keeping the house in order is important, but one of the things the enemy wants to do is bring division in your house. And a house divided cannot stand. In other words, it cannot stand against the ways of the enemy. The Bible says, submit to God and resist the devil. Well, one of the things that happens is when a house is divided, it's not submitting to God. So it's impossible for it to resist the devil. I can't emphasize this enough in the area where so many times things manifest because of lack of submission to God. Now, submitting to God just doesn't mean going to prayer, oh Lord, I submit to you. Submitting to God means you submit to his authorities, his offices, his word. You submit to righteousness. All of these areas is submission. Things are done in divine order. And in this, when we're out of order, we are out of tune. We're not sensitive enough. And one of the things the enemy loves to do is bring areas in our life to cause our house to be divided. Because when our house is divided, it's also divided with the fellowship. It's divided in this house. That's some of the fruit of it. But before we go on, I want to share a couple scriptures. Would you turn to Romans 16? When a person is divided, they promote division. Does everybody get this? In Romans 16, and I really believe that the Holy Spirit is sharing because there's got to be exposure in the area. In other words, light exposes darkness. And so in this, this is one of the areas where the enemy is infiltrating in multiple ways. And so even though we were going to call this part two of house, spiritual house, I'm going to reference this to the spirit of division. Spiritual house part two, but known as the spirit of division. In Romans 16, in verse 17, hallelujah. Come on now. Verse 17, let's read it. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who what? Cause divisions. In other words, note those. In other words, recognize them. They cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and what? Avoid them. Avoid them. Look, don't get sucked in a ring. Just avoid it. Walk away. Just avoid it. Because once you participate in the ring, you react. You cannot respond. So remember, the enemy, again, it's our responsibility to make what's unseen to become seen. When you're not making that happen, the influence of the unseen is going to try to bring division in your house. To what? So that you cannot stand against the voice of the stranger, against the presence of evil. So what happens then, you're not submitting to God, you cannot resist the devil, so you begin to battle, you fight for your belief system of self. You fight for self. You don't fight for God's presence, because God's presence can enter something that's bitter. Amen. So in this again, I'm going to say this. I urge you, brother, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned and avoid them. Avoid it. Amen? Walk away. Listen, there are people that are still walking in a bunch of garbage. And so when they're walking in a bunch of garbage, don't put wood on the fire. Amen? You walk away from it. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. At that moment, that person's serving himself, not God. And by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. They make excuses. It says, for your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning what? Evil. In other words, recognize this. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Note those. In other words, be alert. You know people by their fruit, don't you? Amen. Go to 1 Corinthians 1. Why? Because the spirit of division is infiltrating, isn't it? Listen, there's a difference of counsel, correction, and direction. When a person is corrected, in that person should become humble. But if that person is not willing to become humble, it becomes prideful, defensive, and protecting and battling for self. And the spirit of division will come in. Does everybody got that? Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. Let's read it together. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the what? Same thing, and that there be not what? No divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. In other words, become like-minded. So there are times you're going to have to step back and see it through. Again, when you are moved by emotion, you are divided. Because emotions always divide. And then what will happen is that spirit of division will cause you to promote division. Go to Ephesians 4. You know, there are people still angry with themselves because of decisions they've made, because of things that they've done. There are people still walking in bitterness or something that will trigger that bitterness because of something that they've done in any way whatsoever, or something they didn't fulfill or didn't accomplish. And in that, what happens is, because of that arena of bitterness, it's going to cause a person, because they're divided, bitterness is always an area of division within you. That person will shoot and promote division. Why? To try to get another house divided. Now, the person doesn't recognize that, but the spirit does. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 1 we'll start. Let's read it together. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of your calling with which you were called, with all what? Lowliness and gentleness, with what? Long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So we should be fighting for that, not promoting division. Why? Because what our responsibility to do is recognize when that spirit of division is trying to access, intimidate us, or enter us, or manipulate us. Hallelujah. Jude 14. Well, it's the book of Jude in verse 14. As I began to go over this, the Holy Spirit quickened me to the spirit of division. And he said, and we mentioned a little bit about this in our last teaching of the spiritual house. You know, the spiritual house is vitally important. That's us. And this house should be in parallel with this house. Because how we are here is how we are here. In verse 14 it says, "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, also saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and all of the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own godly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions." And this here saying, not having the Spirit, meaning they're not in the Spirit. They're in the flesh. Listen, the flesh always promotes division. That's its purpose. It's always promoting division. Why? Because it associates with any demonic spirit. They are friends with one another. And that's why God says, submit to God and resist the devil. So these divisions that are caused by this spirit, its influence, to its purpose is to bring your house down. And if he can bring this down, he'll use you to bring others down. And if he can get you to bring others down, he wants to bring the house of God down. Do you know how many times churches have split? Think about it. You've heard about churches splitting and all kinds of stuff. That's because of the spirit of division. And then there's that people begin to lose the love of God's house. They lose that fervent love. You know, I can't express enough and how when my wife and I were being brought up in the kingdom, and how, man, we would have knocked the doors down to get in fellowship. Because the presence of God in corporate was, I mean, there was just a thirst and hunger that nothing could compare to. But that thirst and hunger is caused by people being thirsty and hungry. So when you're around a group that's thirsty and hungry, it draws God's presence stronger. And when it draws God's presence stronger, people get healed. People get freed. But see, what happens is we become a custom or consider it a common. It's and become complacent in seeking God's presence. We no longer speak the words or worship in that arena that we used to. We no longer do those things in the area of bringing thirst and hunger. In fact, there should be a time when you ask the Lord every morning, Lord, grant me more thirst and hunger for your righteousness. I want to stay hungry. I don't want to lose that. I want to maintain you being first in my life, knowing that you're the only thing that ever fulfills me. No person, no job, no money, and no accomplishment can fulfill like your presence can. Amen? And Psalm 1. It says in verse 1, "Blessed is the man who what? Who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly," which is rebellion, "nor stands in the path of sinners or liars, nor sits in the seat of the scornful," bitterness, "but his delight is in the law of the Lord," which is truth, "and in his law he meditates day and night." In other words, he sees it. He always puts God first. God is always in front of you. It says here, "He shall be like a what? Tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season." In other words, there'll be good fruit. "Whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will what? Prosper. But the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment," and that's a place of reward, "nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." In other words, ungodly is a representation of rebellious. Everything that we're to do is to always bring down division and promote unity. Romans 13. You know, if people would not promote the flesh when somebody's caught up in the flesh, You know, can you imagine somebody going, oh, well, around you, if you had a bucket of water and just and smiled at them. What you just did is put out the fire. So many people throw logs on it. Yeah, well, you should do. Yeah, well, keep it going, man. I'll tell you what. People are trying to cast out each other in the flesh, trying to cast out spirits out of one another in the flesh. It don't work. Romans 13, verse 11. It says, and do this, knowing the time that now is the high time to awake out of what? Sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill it. Now, strife is within. If a spirit of division is there, strife is there. Envy is there. Again, anger or bitterness is there also. Now, and it says, when we talked about, note those who are causing division. Well, those that are immature is just ignorance. Those that are more mature, it's called pride. There's a difference. In 2 Timothy 2, in verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood, clay, and some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if any, you know, so many people don't realize that the Bible says that you and I are predestined. Amen? So we really don't choose our destiny. We're going to participate with a destiny that's either been chosen for me and you by God or by the enemy. So in true reality, you're going to either fulfill your destiny or fail. Does everybody get it? You're going to either fulfill your destiny or we're going to fail it. Everything that we've gone through, our destiny is still awaits us. For some of us, it took many years to get on course. For some of us, we got thrown off course and then got back on course. But the Bible tells us that we are predestined to be conformed into His image and likeness. So we're either going to be conformed to His image and likeness and fulfill that destiny, or we're going to fail it, depending on what we choose to cooperate with. Amen? That's why it says, you know, in the house there's what? There are vessels of honor and vessels of what? Dishonor. So we can either fulfill that destiny or fail that destiny, depending on our cooperation. It says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. I would say that's fulfilling destiny, isn't it? It said, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a what? Pure heart. Out of a what? Pure heart. But avoid what? Foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they what? They generate strife. Why is that manifesting? Because the spirit of division is trying to infiltrate. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Why? Because the spirit of division is going to promote the will of Satan. In Isaiah 66, now we know the word says, unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain, right? In verse 1, he says, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Read the next part. Where is the house that you will build me? Now check that out. Where is that house that you will build him? Your temple, your body. This is the house that you will build him. So does God desire to have a dwelling place? Yes. It's one of his greatest desires is to have a dwelling place, to have a habitation, a place where fellowship and communion with one another of his own children. He says, so where is the house that you will build me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things that my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. In other words, there's a fear and reverence to his presence and his word. In James chapter 3, oh, we're just moving tonight. It's good to hear the pages turning on a Tuesday night. James chapter 3 and verse 13. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? Remember, one of the things we talked about was going to need wisdom. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. The meekness of wisdom. But if you are bitter, envy, and self-seeking in your heart, we know that the spirit of division is there. Do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and everything are there. Now, confusion is also a fruit of the spirit of division. Because when there's division, the person is in confusion. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceable. I want to say that word again, peaceable. Where there's peaceable, it promotes unity, doesn't it? Gentle. Where there's gentle, it promotes unity. Willing to yield, that's submitting to God and resisting the devil. Full of mercy and good fruits. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So if you are a peacemaker, in fact the Bible talks about a peacemaker, you know, we should be peacemakers. And so a peacemaker will always promote unity. And if you're not one who's a peacemaker, one who promotes unity, you'll be one who's easily influenced by the spirit of division and promote division and strife. And we talked about some of the fruits of a house divided and some of the signs of a house divided. The first one was that there's not a desire to come into the house. We make excuses. Remember, we talked about that. The second one was rebellion, basically promoting own doctrine first instead of true doctrine. And then the third one we talked about was actually lack of wisdom. Amen? Wisdom tells us what to do. And it was not only lack of wisdom, but discernment and blindness, a short-sightedness. And the fourth one was basically a hardened heart, lying to self, lying. Proverbs 12, we're going to go to the fifth one. Is everybody okay? So one of the things that has to be understood so you don't get sucked in a ring, that it's not the person, it's the spirit. Amen? It's not the person, it's the spirit that's influencing the person. So if you can't recognize that, you'll easily get sucked in the ring and you'll just put wood on the fire and be a promoter of division yourself. Proverbs 12. You know, the word tells us that the enemy is the most cunning beast God created. He can outwit anyone. Anytime, and he does. I see him do it to believers all the time. Outwits them. Hallelujah. In verse 5. Let's read it together. Proverbs 12, verse 5. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. The words of the wicked are lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright will deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will what? Stand. The house of the righteous will what? Stand. But the house of division that's divided will not stand because wickedness has taken lead. So we see here then the fifth thing is unstable in the inner house. And when you're unstable in your inner house, you are unstable in the house of God. Psalm 36. In verse 7, Psalm 36, verse 7, let's read it together. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the foundation of life. In your light we see light. Now, this is powerful. He says, they are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and that you give them drink from the rivers of pleasure. Well, what do? We walk the river, don't we? And we're stirring up. You know, in the Word it talks about the angel of the Lord that came down and stirred up the pool. And then when the first one in got healed. Well, now it doesn't have to be that way. See, we create an atmosphere for healing. We create an atmosphere for God to come. We create an atmosphere which builds up faith. And people are expecting something. Because when you expect something, something comes. Amen? Now you're making connection. So in this, he says, and you will be satisfied with the things of the drink of this river, which is his presence. So the sixth thing that happens to individuals is not only they complain, they grumble, they criticize, but those who are standing, they are abundantly satisfied. Does everybody get this? So when what happens is a spirit of division causes an area where a person isn't satisfied. They're looking for world fulfillment instead of presence of God fulfillment. Psalm 27. In fact, when that is manifesting, even the things of the world can't satisfy them. It's only temporary. Hallelujah. Psalm 27, verse 3. Would you read it with me? Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. In other words, he will lift you up because you are associated with the house of God. One of the things that happens to individuals when that spirit of division enters them and manipulates them, they lose the love of the house of God. It's a lost love for the house of God. They lose respect for the offices of God. They lack support for the house of God. And the area that they wanted to so reach one time has been diminished. It's been diminished. Now they are content, no longer wanting to advance. They become stagnant, stunted. In Psalm 92, in other words, there's no longer a desire to grow. They say they want to grow, but not willing to cooperate to grow. They say they're willing to do whatever it takes, but they want someone else to do it for them. Psalm 92 and verse 12. Let's read it. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord. What? Those who are what? Planted in the house of the Lord. You know, there have been so many times when I would go to the house of the Lord to be healed. And I've been healed in the house of God so many times. Why? Because that corporate presence is stronger. I'm not saying that God can't heal us anywhere, but there would be times when I say, Lord, what? And this when I wasn't involved in ministry, when I was just as a believer, I say, Lord, I'm struggling with this. What do I do? Go to my house. Go to my house. And I'd go to the house of God, and man, they'd be praising and worship, and there'd be times when there was no teaching, it was just worship. And I would walk away, refreshed, empowered, feeling so much better. especially when fear and stress and anxiety hits, man, you need to hit the presence of God. Because that's the only place which is going to break that. But too many people run to the phone and not the throne. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is what? Upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Praise God. So you want to flourish when you got gray hair? Be connected. There it is. Amen. Praise God. Or wear a hat, but still, you know, be connected. What happens with the spirit of division, it comes in and infiltrates, and the person is no longer planted. Where there's no longer planting, there's no longer flourishing. Why? Because it's just like a plant. You put it, plant it, and it begins to, when it's watered and taken care of, it will grow and bear fruit, won't it? But if it's not planted, nothing's going to happen. It won't flourish. Again, its growth is hindered and it's stunted. And that's the eighth thing. In 1 Timothy chapter 3. Oh, 7. Snap. I gave you 7. Yeah, that was 8. Yeah. Grumbling, complaint. Yeah. Loss of love of God's house. Loss of respect for the office. No longer support service. Man, come on, I'll pay attention. Yeah. You can read my notes later. Hallelujah. So the eighth one, growth is stunted, no flourish. It's like smoking. Stunt your growth, right? I don't know. 1 Timothy chapter 3. So do you think there should be other people here tonight? Amen. I'm not going to go there. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Yeah, you wonder why people aren't growing, flourishing. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Hallelujah. But praise be to God. And those of you who are watching, it's good to watch, but make sure you get in fellowship. You got to get in God's presence. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Is everybody there? In verse 1. Would you speak it with me? This is a faithful saying. If a man or woman desires a position of a leadership, or what they call a bishop, but it's a leadership, he desires a good thing. Anyone desiring this must be blameless, a husband or wife, or one wife or one husband, not the same. Not one wife and one wife, not one husband, one husband, one wife. Yeah. Temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to booze, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house. Well, rules his own house well. Rules his own house well. And having his children in submission with reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Well, how are you going to maintain a good testimony without being established, plugged in, planted? You won't. Your testimony will go on the shelf and collect dust. It won't collect souls. It will collect dust. Hallelujah. So again, the ninth thing, this is number 9. No longer reaching the goal of the position of leadership or steward. They've lost that desire. No longer desire to lead. In Psalm 5. You know, many times individuals, when they first get saved, they're like, man, you know what? I want to be a part of the body. I want to be in position. I want to be in leadership somewhere. And it's gone. Well, there is a price to pay, isn't there? Consistency. Alertness. Psalm 5. Start at verse 1. Speak it. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I will pray. My voice you will hear in the morning, O Lord. Does everybody get this? My voice you will hear in the morning. He's saying, lift up your voice to him every morning. Acknowledge him. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. Man, I do that every morning. I look right up to him. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will what? Worship. Worship toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your great righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. Pronounce them guilty, O God, and let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out into the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you. But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy, because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. But you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield. Hallelujah. Worship. Hebrews 3. Hebrew. Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 1. Let's speak it. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ is a son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. In the day of trial in the wilderness where your fathers tested me, tried me, saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation, and I said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if, that word means cooperate, if we what? Hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. So again, we see here we got to hold fast, because one of the things that happens is the spirit of division will cause a hardened heart. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Let's speak it. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Hello. As though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake in Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yes, if anyone suffers as Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And it begins with us first. What will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God. So the house right now, the house of God, has been in judgment for a while. It's been in judgment. The purpose of judgment is to try and awaken individuals so they don't get caught in a wrath. In 2 John chapter 1, in verse 9, let's read it together. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Now that's pretty powerful, because we know a lot of people out there that are proclaimed believers that do not abide in the doctrine of Christ. They have their own doctrine. And that's the tenth thing that the spirit of division will always promote, is false doctrine of the voice of the stranger. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Verse 10. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him in your house, nor greet him. Do you know? Now, again, I want you to look at this two different things. This is about a person coming to your house trying to sway you. And that's the voice of the stranger trying to enter your house and try and sway you. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. So we must be careful. Amen. Look at the enemy's always trying to promote a false doctrine. That's his job. And I want to close with 1 Corinthians 3. In verse 9. Let's speak it. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has done, has built on, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or the life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. You are Christ and God, and Christ is God's. Amen. We are Christ. Remember, we are a new existence. We are a holy temple. I don't think people take it serious enough, what this all really, truly means. See, it's been watered down. It really has. It's become more entertainment. It's become more socializing. It's become more carnal. It's not become more intimate. In that area where we need to become more serious and get closer to the Lord than we ever have, it's important. Because there's going to be things that are getting ready to happen that if you have a long-distance relationship, you won't know what truck hit you. But when you have a close relationship, you can hear better, like, get out of the way. Amen. So don't let the spirit of division deceive you. Constantly remove it every day. When you sense it, bind that spirit of division, strife, anger, frustration, and confusion. Take your authority and bind that spirit. And whatever you see the fruit that you're struggling with, bind that spirit every morning. Command it to go. Eventually, it's going to cut loose. And be honest with yourself. Don't try to cover up those spirits that are hindering you. Expose them. This is what Jesus did. Listen, light exposes darkness. If you don't allow the truth to expose deception, then you will be what? Deceived. That's what this is about. It's about being cut loose from all bondages and being free in the Spirit. That's what this is about. That's why Jesus came. He came to bring us His Spirit. He came to live in this temple and express Himself. So you got to ask yourself, have I been expressing Christ or me? Amen? And if it's me, then it ain't God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for Your word. We are honored and blessed. So, Lord, I'm asking that You'll anoint these spiritual houses that are here before You today, that You'd come and take Your rightful place on the throne of our hearts, that these temples would be a habitation that You desire to dwell in, and that You would give us the discernment in every area to combat the voice of the stranger, division and strife, and any other spirit that would try to cause our houses to be divided. We ask this, Father, for more wisdom that we may see, discern, obey, and cooperate with everything that You've given us to overcome all temptations and the entanglements and affairs of this world. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.